Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm still Ryan Bonaparte.
Ryan Bonaparte, back from Chicago, back from Press Row, sitting in row two, just behind the big guys from CBS. How was it today?
Yep. Oh, it was pretty nice. We had to steal some seats again. Luckily, there were actually some connections that one of the group had that we were able to snag some Indiana newspaper seats. So they helped us out in more than one ways today.
Yeah, there you go. So Ryan was in attendance at the United Center to see Purdue's victory over Ohio State, 80-66, third victory over Ohio State this year. That's a rarity in conference play to beat the same team three times. You know, they always talk about how hard it is to beat a team three times in the same season, and it has been a rarity. So Purdue finds themselves on the positive end of this one, and they are headed to the championship game. We'll talk about who they're playing in the second half here, but Ryan, again, you were there in attendance in the United Center. Tell me about what you saw in the first half of this Purdue-Ohio State game.
Yeah, so Purdue did not come out as cold as normal. They were hitting some shots, and it felt good to see those go in. Fletcher Lawyer hit his first three, and that was the first three of the game, and he made it. So Newman hit one, and it felt good to see that the wheels haven't completely fallen off when it comes to three-point shooting.
Yeah.
So it's something that you want Purdue to continue to build on. If those shots are falling, you're fine. I mean, Purdue didn't shoot a lot of threes in the first half, but they made the ones that they did take.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Purdue started the game 3-for-3 from three-point range, and that is absolutely a huge, huge advantage for this Purdue team. I mean, it opens things up for Zach Edey. And even, you know, if Caleb First had six quick points in this one, and a lot of that was due to not only the doubling of Edey, but the fact that they had to truly treat the three-point shot as a threat. So it was huge just for the offense entirely.
Yeah, and there was a clear advantage for Purdue in just size in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really only one big for Ohio State in Felix Akpara, and nobody else is really a big man. So you had Justice Suing would come in, and he would kind of try and be the five. Eugene Brown III would also do that sometimes. And it's just Purdue's bigs were at a clear advantage. Zach Edey took advantage of that in the low post. And then that also bled over into Caleb First.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Purdue had a couple times there where Edey would get doubled, and Edey would just dump down to First on the baseline, and he'd have an easy dunk. So anytime you have that size advantage coupled with the outside shots going down, you know it's going to be a good day for Purdue.
Yeah, and I mean, that combination is really hard to beat because it puts the defense in a bind of what do you allow? I mean, you can't stop everyone, so do you double in the post and leave the shooters open? Do you try to go one-on-one straight up against everybody, and then you've got a guy like Zach Edey, which, as you said, Ohio State didn't really have an answer for him. So if you allow him to get his, you have to hope that you can make up for it on the other end with some good three-point shooting, maybe some and-ones. And they were able to do that for a little while. As good as Purdue was shooting from three, Ohio State was matching them through the vast majority of the first half. At one point in the first half, Purdue was shooting 80% from three, but Ohio State was shooting 70% from three. I mean, it was an absolute incredible display of shooting.
Yeah, and a lot of that, the vast majority of that for Ohio State was Roddy Gale.
Yes.
Roddy Gale came in the first half went 5 of 6 from deep, and it was just an issue of Purdue was having such a difficult time with their rotations. There was the same spot in the corner that Roddy Gale hit 4 of those.
Yeah, numbers. just in front of the Purdue bench.
Mm-hmm. So he was absolutely, like, on fire in the first half from deep, but he didn't make a single, or he didn't attempt a single three-pointer in the second half. So Purdue really adjusted to Roddy Gale to make sure that he wouldn't beat them from deep as he did in the first half.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, even if you compare it to just the game against Rutgers, Purdue in that game from three-point lane in the first half, 2 for 10 in the first half of that one. In the first half of this game against Ohio State, Purdue was 5 of 6. So, I mean, just what a turnaround, and that really shows you what this team can be when they're actually hitting shots. There was a little bit of a rough stretch there where Ohio State, as you said, with Roddy Gale, was just hitting everything, and you kind of wondered if Ohio State was going to just keep this up for the entirety of the game, even without Sensabaugh in the lineup, as it was announced he was out, before the game began, but they had just looked like the team of the tournament throughout their first three games, and you wondered if maybe they could keep it up for two more games and find themselves a surprise NCAA tournament entrant. But I do think the 4 games in 4 days really started to wear on them as the second half began. So
yes.
Before we go to the second half, though, I mean, what about that David Jenkins three to end the half?
I mean, that was just a pretty ballsy shot on his end. I think you tweeted that, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, so, just the balls to just be like 2 feet, 3 feet behind the line and just go, yeah, this is for me. There's 6 seconds left. Doesn't matter. Like, I'm just going to pull up. I'm feeling it. And just drains it. And you could just see on the Ohio State players the frustration. I mean, the ball went in with about 6 seconds left, and they just hung their heads for about 2 seconds, waiting to get the ball in. And all that while, you know, the clock is going. And they tried to get a shot off at the end on the other half of the court. But, man, it just what an adrenaline rush for the Purdue squad to have that three head into halftime with a 42-34 lead up by 8. And it just everything was clicking at that point.
Yeah, and at that point, Jenkins had not missed a three-pointer in the tournament. He was 3 for 3 on Wednesday and 2 for 2 at that point.
Just wild.
Just, there was someone tweeted about it. They put a chart out there. His three-point percentage when at different points in time on the shot clock. And the right-hand side was when it went dwindled down, and it was like an exponential curve. It was absolutely bonkers to see. And, you know, he's been that way all season for Purdue. If the shot clock's going down, he's going to shoot, and more times than not, he's going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, someone that has that sort of like cold-blooded touch is something you need in March. You know, Kemba Walker won a tournament.
Oh, my God. Heart attack Kemba. I mean, just, I don't even remember the number of times, if you include the Big East tournament that year, the number of times he just hit a crazy step back or a crazy three to send a game to overtime, to win a game, to end a half, into shot clock. I mean, he was just absolutely incredible. One of the best tournament runs I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes, and that's something that, obviously, we're not comparing David Jenkins Jr. to Kemba Walker in you know, 90% of the game, but David Jenkins Jr. can be a prolific scorer like that and hit these jump shots. So he's actually, I believe, 22 points away from having 2,000 in his career.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, he's at least got two games left, at the very least, two games left. And I really, really hope he finds a way to get there, because what an accomplishment.
Yes. So, fantastic. And what a way to end the half for Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, so Purdue takes an 8-point lead into halftime. They come out, and what happened to start the second half? Did we have any troubles? Did we worry? Were we excited? Were we ready to go? What was going on in the second half for Purdue?
You definitely felt ready to go. I believe the first possession, or one of the first possessions for Ohio State, was either a turnover or a charge.
Yeah, it was a turnover, I believe.
Yeah, so Purdue looked pretty locked in, and then that's when it just looked like the fatigue was hitting Ohio State. Their shots kept falling short, and that's, you know, a key thing, that you're not getting that sort of lift on your jumpers, and you're not shooting as long. So that's what it looked like. And, you know, I mentioned this before, Roddy Gale didn't have a single 3-point attempt in the second half, and Ohio State ended up going 10 of 24 for the game after going 5 of 6. Or no, they were, what were they in the first half? I want to say 7 of 11 in the first half.
If that's not exactly right, that's close. I mean,
going 3 of 13 in the second half from deep.
And to your point, you know, a lot of people who are dumping on Painter this year have said, you know, he doesn't adjust, he can't do anything after halftime. But, you know, you just said it about Roddy Gale. Absolutely on fire in the first half, didn't make a three in the second half. So Purdue did something differently, you know, realized that he was the one who had been beating them in that first half, and really focused on him and shut him down in the second half. And that's what good teams have to do, because even when a guy like Sensabaugh is out, somebody has to carry the load. You know the other team is going to score points. It's just a matter of who picks up the slack. And when you figure that out, you've got to find a way to shut them down. And Purdue did that today in the second half.
Yeah, and I think a good amount of that also was, you know, Purdue rotated much better in the second half. And you don't know if it's because Ohio State was a little bit slower, because, like I said, that fatigue looked like it was setting in. But Brandon Newman and Ethan Morton had a fantastic second half defending the ball. And it looked as if they could just keep everything in front of them. And then if that's happening, you either have to dump it back outside, which Ohio State would do, but then the rotation would catch up and you don't have a good shot to take. Or you have to attack Zach Edey, who was only out for 5 minutes. He played 35 minutes in this game, just because there was such an advantage on the inside. You know, the Ohio State players ended up just started draping on Zach Edey, and the offense proved it, but the defense really picked up and amplified. There was a point where Ohio State, 8 minutes into the second half, only had 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
So the intensity picked up, Purdue was rotating really well, and Ohio State was just falling short on their shots.
Yeah, yeah, and we haven't even really mentioned the play of Zach Edey or Braden Smith yet, which I think is a disservice to them, but there was just so much going on in this game. You know, Edey struggled a little bit with some bunnies. I mean, missed a lot of shots that I think he normally makes, but it's a testament to his talent and his ability that he still wound up, you know, 12 of 25. He took 25 shots, which is just incredible. Mm-hmm. 8 of 11 at the free throw line, wound up with 32 points and 14 rebounds to go along with 3 assists and a steal. Just a masterful game, a masterful game. And again, shows you how incredible he is, that he's not the first thing that stands out about this game, because we expect so much from him. And he delivers every time.
He does. Yeah, and so I actually asked him in the presser about this.
I love it. Inside info. Let's do it.
Yes. He only had one rebound at halftime.
Is that right?
He finished with 14. Yeah, he had 13 in the second half.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I asked him about it, and, you know, he provided the basketball answer, like, you know, I want to put myself in position to get every rebound, and sometimes the ball doesn't bounce that way. But again, it's just like, in the second half, he was taller than everyone, and he had the physical advantage of rest against everyone.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's like you square it, and that's not good news for Ohio State. But like you said, he had a bad shooting night. That right hook was not falling for him at all times, and it was really the second half rebounding. He finished with 6 offensive rebounds that he was able to put up, you know, put up a rebound and then put up a easy layup, sometimes for an and one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he struggled, and despite the struggles, he still finished with 32 and 14. It's laughable.
Yeah. I mean, and it was another game. I didn't have a huge problem with the officials. I thought, you know, just like every game, they make a few mistakes here or there. But there was, of course, the hook and hold, or I guess they didn't really call it technically a hook and hold, but I mean, where Edie just gets dragged to the ground by Ohio State, and they called that correctly, and it ultimately resulted in a 6-point possession for Purdue, because I believe it was Braden Smith had just made a pull-up jumper, and after the shot is when Edie gets dragged to the ground. So he gets 2 free throws, and then Purdue gets possession. He makes both free throws, and then Purdue scores on the ensuing possession. So again, it turns into a 6-point possession for Purdue. It was just incredible.
Yeah, and plus that possession, they started that possession down by 4.
Oh, is that
they took the lead on that possession. So yeah, Smith got it within 2. Edie tied it at the line, and then Edie had a dunk to finish the possession and go up by 2. So, like, that's a big play, and for obvious reasons, I mean, the final score didn't really reflect it, but that point almost got Purdue going.
Yeah.
So they started to take off after that. That's when Jenkins came in, he made 2 big threes, and Purdue was off to the races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, 2 other guys that I think we have to mention. I said Braden Smith earlier, but didn't really touch on it too much. I mean, he played 30 minutes. Did not miss a shot in this game. 5 of 5, including 2 for 2 from deep. He was 2 for 2 at the free throw line. 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, just 1 turnover. Total of 14 points, and just a masterclass in what we need from a point guard in this system. Took the open shots, got to the rim when he needed to, and I still maintain that the turnover on the 10-second call was wrong because they called it with less than 10 seconds. I know Gillis didn't yet have possession, and you have to have it over the line with 10 seconds, and you have to have possession, blah, blah, blah. Trust me, I got told that 100 times on Twitter when I said the call was wrong. But if you go back and look, they called it with like 9.2 seconds gone, or 9.4, and the ball was right outside of Gillis' hands, and he would have had it before 10. So I maintain that Braden Smith shouldn't even have a turnover, but you know, whatever. But what did you see from Braden Smith today that really showed you that this is what he's capable of?
I mean, Braden Smith didn't take a lot of shots. I mean, obviously, 5 for 5 is fantastic. But when you usually when a player is 5 for 5, they take more than 5 shots.
Right. So, yeah.
2 for 2 from 3-point line is huge. He had 2 open threes. He made them both. And I like from that point when he took his floaters, which he took only 1 really. He had a floater, a jumper, and a layup were his 3 non-3-point shots. When you have the floater and you have Zach Edey, like the floater makes perfect sense because Edey's going to go up and get an offensive rebound
more than
half the time. So Braden Smith has incredible ability to shoot the ball. We know this. And if you make it, great. If not, Edie's got a shot. So it's a very high percentage shot, even if you miss. Same thing with if you see Zach Edie is drawing your defender, go for a layup. You're most likely going to get a foul drawn, or you're going to get a layup. So whenever Braden Smith drives the ball, good things happen, and you almost wish you saw it more. But in a game like this, again, Edie's going to get his shots, and they were all still good percentage shots for Edie, so I'm not going to complain about that.
Right.
But moving forward, if he keeps doing what he's doing, good things will happen.
Yeah, yeah. An aggressive Braden Smith is a good Braden Smith, and he showed that today. So one last player I want to mention, Brandon Newman, continues to just reemerge into his freshman year form that really had everyone thinking he was going to be the next great shooter and the next star on Purdue basketball. Went out there today, played 33 minutes. Started again, of course, 5 for 7 from the floor, 2 for 4 from three, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, no turnovers.
One Matt Painter high five.
One Matt Painter high five after a 5-second call, which I, honest to God, cannot remember another 5-second call this year.
No. No, I cannot either. And it's one of those. Man, was Matt Painter happy.
It's one of those, I don't know if I was just like blanking in that moment, or if I just cannot remember a single 5-second call anymore.
I don't remember any.
Matt Painter certainly enjoyed it.
I mean, whenever you get a Matt Painter fist pump, you know there's good things happening.
Yeah. I think, didn't he say in the press conference that he actually high-fived Brandon after that?
Yes. Brandon came over and high-fived him.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, so deserved.
Yeah.
What is up with Brandon Newman in tournaments? I mean,
I don't know.
It's just, it unlocks him, and I love that. I mean, good for him. He puts in all the work. You know, it hasn't really amounted to what anyone would like for him in the regular season, but he's definitely come alive in the past 2 years during the postseason, and it's helping his team win. He is getting it done. His defense, he was most likely the best defender in the game today. I mean, his on-ball defense covering Ohio State guards was incredible.
Yeah.
He kept everything in front of him, and him and Morton were the two that did it. And just Newman played more, so I think his offense gives him – it's indescribable how effective that is, especially for his confidence. Like, when you see this stuff happening – good things continue to happen. The process is working, as Matt Painter says, you know, be process-based, and it's paying off, and you love to see that for this young man.
Yeah, and you can just see, talking about his defense and his on-the-ball defense, you can see the improvement from last year to this year, and you just love to see a guy who continues to grow into a role and continues to grow go and get better at the things the team needs him to get better at. Kudos to Brandon Newman on that. So anything else on this Ohio State game before we talk about what comes next?
Not too much else. No. Gillis and Morton obviously didn't score too much, but everyone else sort of did. So it's not really something I'm worried about.
Yeah, not at all.
Like I said earlier, it's nice to see Lawyer get a 3 go in just to see something go into the basket. Mm-hmm. And there was a shot that Lawyer took that, just like Braden Smith, it was a floater that ended up being an offensive rebound. Even though he missed the shot, I really enjoy when he does that as well. When he's aggressive with the ball as well, it helps. So if he's more aggressive with the ball, you know, and driving the lane, he will hopefully pick up more fouls, just because for whatever reason he doesn't pick up those calls. But even if he gets to the line to jumpstart him, it will help his confidence and I think help his shot. So Matt Painter, I think, knows what he's doing. He didn't bench Lawyer today. I don't think this means he's probably not going to be benched the rest of the year, but if you're winning, you don't change the formula, I think, so.
Yeah, I mean, I respect it in that sense, so I just, we got to keep getting more out of him. I would love to have him out there playing like he did in Portland or like he did in the second half in Philadelphia against Penn State, so that's the Lawyer I want to see, and I hope we can get back to it. So, second game of the day was IU-Penn State, and as much as Penn State tried to give that game away at the very end, with some of the worst turnovers against the press I've seen since the last time I watched Purdue against the press, They still walk out of the United Center with a victory over IU. IU goes home, so it's Purdue, Penn State, another team that Purdue will face for the third time. This is going to be a 3:30 tip on CBS on Sunday. Ryan, I know we had a bracket challenge people could enter with one game left. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand?
We actually have a winner because everybody but two people picked Purdue to win.
Of course, of course.
We have someone who's far enough in front to where it won't matter. Not a single person took Penn State, by the way. So
no one even has Penn State in this game.
People have Penn State in the championship
game, but no one winning it.
All.
Got it. Right. Okay.
Because who would pick a 10 seed to win it all? I mean.
Yeah, well, in 10 out of 14.
Right. Exactly. So, yep, big congratulations to Boilers 3212. His handle says RJ in his Twitter. So, he took the crown. He almost didn't get it because he didn't have Purdue winning in his original submission. But
who did he have winning?
My tweet in time. Well, he didn't have anybody winning. He
didn't. Oh, he just left it blank.
Correct. So he replied to my request for a winner, and his bracket took it all. So right now he's sitting at 22 points. Next closest has 20, and like I said, everyone except two took Purdue to win it all.
Okay. So of the Hammer and Rail staff, what is our ranking there? Go from top to bottom or bottom to top, whichever you want to do it, of the Hammer and Rail staff.
All right. I will do top to bottom.
Okay.
So coming in first is our newest member, Chase.
We barely count him. He's been here less than a week.
All right. So we barely count him, so I think I know why we barely count him. It's because coming in second, or first in some people's minds, is yours truly, Mr. Andrew Ledman.
There we go.
So, shall I go on, or would you like to bask in that glory?
No. It's fine. Just let's keep going.
Yeah, okay. Next after that is Drew and myself. Drew and myself are tied.
Okay.
So, well, we'll see about that one. May have to actually break out the tiebreakers just to see who gets the leg up.
Points in the final game, right?
Yeah, winner gets media credentials for a game that we both want.
There you go.
So after that, we have Jed, and Jed was really pulling for Maryland to get into the championship game.
All right, okay.
But because that didn't happen, it happens. And lastly, we have Gabby, who has really struggled in this one. She chose chaos and wanted Nebraska in the championship.
Okay.
Game.
Oh, wow. All right.
So, yeah, sometimes you just you make a bracket just to have a funny result. And who wouldn't want to see Tominaga in the championship game at the United Center?
Yeah, so, and sometimes, you take a big swing, but when you take a big swing, you can miss. And it sounds like Gabby missed.
We won't punish anyone.
No, there's no for this. No beatings, no firings, no nothing. But just wanted to let you all know where everybody stood. Speaking of bracket challenges, have you seen what Pepsi Zero Sugar is doing?
I have not.
So I saw this today. Pepsi Zero Sugar, which in my opinion is far inferior to Coke Zero, unless they want to pay me to say otherwise. Is doing a bracket challenge. It may only be on DraftKings, because that's where I saw it, but they're doing a zero sugar bracket challenge where the fewer points you get, the better.
Whoa.
So it's whoever submits the worst bracket is going to win their challenge. I think it's like $10,000.
Okay.
So you got to go in there and pick all 16 seeds, and pick as many games wrong as you can. So I think I'm going to try to enter just for fun. But it sounds like it could be a pretty fun little, March Madness idea.
Okay. So Cinderella could really mess you up.
Could really mess you up, but in the opposite way.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was really a fun idea.
Yeah. In theory, if you choose every game correctly in the first round, it's just as impressive if you choose every game incorrectly.
Right, right. The 8-9 the 8-9 is just going to be chaos. You know, the 15-2 do you pick all twos? Because the 15s, or I'm sorry, 12-5 The 12-5 is going to be chaos because every year there's a 12 that wins. So do you pick a 5 as an upset in your Pepsi Zero Sugar bracket? It's going to be chaos.
Yeah, could be... at the same time, you almost always have an 8 or a 9 upset a 1 seed.
Yeah.
So,
Who
might
knows?
Might have to figure out how to do that.
Yeah,
might
could
have
be an...
to drive on over to Indiana just so I can make sports betting.
Right. Yeah, could be an interesting one. So, all right. Penn State, we've played them twice. We've beat them twice. Beat them, I believe, by 20 the second time and I think 17 the first time. Something to that effect.
Sounds correct. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's Coach Shrewsbury. We love that he made it. But he's dead to us for the next 24 hours. What do we think about this game tomorrow? Is it going to be similar to this one against Ohio State, a team we beat twice and we can handle them a third time? Or is Penn State more dangerous?
Well, technically speaking, Purdue has already beaten Penn State in a neutral site
yeah.
game.
Well, although technically the NCAA changed it to an away game.
Right. Even though this, I think there's going to be many more Purdue fans at this game tomorrow than Penn State fans.
My goodness, but, I hope so.
Yeah, I would assume so.
I would imagine there's going to be a lot of IU fans who are selling their tickets.
Yeah, that could be too. So Penn State really has the same problem that Ohio State has. They don't have that deep of bigs. You know, anytime you don't have that deep of bigs, you run into the problem of what do you do with Zach Edey.
Right.
Now, on defense, however, you have four shooters on the floor who can all make shots for Penn State.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start bringing Zach Edey up into the screen and roll, that's when you start having issues. So it's going to be a nice balance where, if Penn State is making their shots, that's when they start to give Purdue issues. But if they're not making their shots, this is going to be like another steamroll, but almost a cakewalk for Purdue.
Gosh, I hope so. How much fun would it be to have a game that was completely enjoyable, no stress, walk your way into a championship? I'm not so confident that that's going to happen. I think we're going to see a Penn State team that plays like they did the first half in Philly, where Purdue was in a little bit of trouble. And I think that's what we're going to see. But I do, just like we saw Ohio State today, I mean, this will be Penn State's fourth game in as many days. Granted, it'll be Purdue's third, but, you know, four games is quite a bit on the legs in that amount of time. So I hope Purdue can stick with it in the first half and have a good second half like they did today. I we both picked Purdue to win this thing, and that was if we were going to have them playing IU, but we've both got them playing Penn, well, we have them playing Penn State now, so, are you still sticking with your prediction of Purdue winning at all?
I am, and to your point about, you know, Penn State struggling with four games in 4 days, this game today was wire to wire. They had to play incredibly hard the whole time. Purdue, while still playing hard the whole time, you know, you ease off the gas a little bit when you're up by 14 at the end of the game, and it's not as intensive on your body. So I think that is just another factor. So maybe it's actually like 2.9 days of rest compared or days of playing versus a full three or four for Penn State. So I think that's just a little bit added advantage. And Shrews has yet to beat Painter, correct?
I believe that is correct, yes.
So I think the trend continues. And I think Purdue gets another trophy for its case.
Excellent. I mean, I hope you're right. So when you were watching this Purdue, or I'm sorry, the Penn State IU game, who are you rooting for? I mean, I know we hate to root for IU. We hate IU on this podcast. We've always hated IU on this podcast. But did part of you want to see them a third time, or were you like, yeah, I'm fine with them staying away?
Part of me wanted to see Indiana for a third time for two reasons. One, obviously getting that revenge game and potentially just shutting up every Indiana fan, because this is a game that matters.
Exactly,
and
yeah,
Indiana
matters.
Still has yet to win the Big Ten championship, or the Big Ten tournament, I should say.
Yeah.
So getting to shut them up in that game would have been so nice. Oh, my goodness. It would have been euphoric. But the other part of me wanted a bigger opponent for Purdue, because Purdue's still really fighting to get on the one seed.
Yeah.
Right now it's between UCLA and Purdue, and, you know, every little bit counts. I still think Purdue, if they win tomorrow, or, heck, if UCLA loses tonight, Purdue gets on the one seed still.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they always say on Selection Sunday, you know, they don't really pay attention to the games that finish late on Sunday, and the Big Ten Championship is always the last game to finish, so you don't know how much it really plays into their decision-making. And depending on where you look right now, Purdue is either the last one seed or the first two seed. And I think it's just neck and neck. We'll see what UCLA does today. I haven't paid attention to what's going on in their game. I don't even know what time they play. But
it's West Coast. They play late.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So this has been a great tournament for Purdue to show that they can still shoot the ball. They've won those two games against an Ohio State team who has been playing very well, and a Rutgers team who beat them earlier in the year. So I think that vengeance, whether, you know, it doesn't mean much, I think, to the committee, but they can at least see that they've beat them again after losing to them earlier in the year. So it's important to me. I'm not sure how much importance the committee gives to it, but that was great. So
right.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm with you. I did want to see IU again, just because it would have been great to beat them for a Big Ten tournament title. But I'm not mad they lost, because I didn't want them to have any chance to win this thing. And anytime IU loses, I'm a happy guy. So I think that's going to do it for us, unless you got something else. I've got ice cream to eat since I had 8 pints and we had 8 games.
Good.
And now there's only 7 games left, but I got 8 pints up there, so I got to eat something to keep the numbers even.
Yep, got to get one down before tomorrow at 2:30.
Yeah, Central. Which is not a problem for me, so it will be gone. So Ryan, you're wearing the shirt tomorrow, right?
Yep, the undefeated shirt will be worn again.
Which we should point out, your shirt, more power than the Chris Holtmann suit.
Yes. Maybe he sent it to the wrong cleaners, but
maybe the cleaner was a Purdue fan and you know, took care of it, switched it out with a different suit. But
there you go.
Ryan's shirt continues to hold all the power, so he will be in that tomorrow. Make sure to follow him on Twitter to get those behind the scenes facts. I'm ready, folks. Let's get another championship for this season. So for Ryan and myself, boiler up,
hammer down.